Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about hindrances to accomplishing our purpose now. We talked a while about what success is for us as Christians. That success is simply knowing God, being in relationship with Him, rather than achieving a purpose or goal outside of Him, to serve Him or minister unto Him or others, but instead it is simply to be with Him, to know Him, to be in process with Him, to be on the same page as He's on. This is going to be different for each one of us, even though at its core, what we're looking at is our soul and body being lined up with our spirit. Spirit flows from Him through our spirit, through our soul, through our body, unhindered into this world, into this realm. So that's the ultimate purpose, ultimate goal of our still being here on this earth. And accomplishing that is success, and that's going to be determined by each one of us. If we are moving towards that ultimate purpose, and that moving towards is going to be under the control of spirit. You and I can't tell this is how we need to go, this is where what's the most important. Most of the time, what God has been working on in us and through us, we aren't even aware of. And then He brings something to the surface so He can reveal to us what He has been doing through setting us free, healing us, restoring our soul, so we can be involved at the end. So often we want to be involved much sooner than God wants us to be, but He knows we would likely interfere. We'd try to help. And this goes for what God is doing in others as well. We can be a little bit of busybodies and wanting to know, what's God doing over there? What's God doing over here? And in some respects, that's totally helpful. But in others, if it keeps us from asking God, what are you doing in here, in us, then it's a distraction. And that's kind of what we're talking about now, is what distracts us or hinders us from accomplishing God's purpose now. We've talked about misconceptions about who we are, who God is, and really what He's doing in our lives hinders our purpose now. And through that, through understanding who He is, who we are, and what He's doing, one of God's goals is to make our true identity real to us, bring us into that confidence that we know who we are, that we know we are spirit. That which is born of spirit is spirit. We have been begotten of spirit. So we have a soul. You are not a soulical being as the identity of who you are. You have a soul. You aren't a soul. And you live in a earthbound body. And as we start understanding why he's doing what he's doing in our lives, we can interfere less and hopefully enjoy more what he's doing in our lives. Another hindrance is when we know ourselves according to our soulical temperament. So often we know each other and we know ourselves according to the way we behave or our history. Families are especially caught up in this, that you've lived so long with your family, they know you inside and out. There's an expectation there that how you have behaved in the past will be how you continue to behave in the future. But that's just a belief and an expectation that isn't truth. So we can say we often live according to the belief that our temperament, our soul, the way God put our soul together, mind, will, and emotions, that is who and what we are. For instance, someone who has a strong intellect may believe that their value to God and sometimes to themselves and to others is measured in terms of doing something with their intellect, figuring something out, doing something new. Likewise, someone who is compassionate and emotionally caring toward people may be believed, because often they've been told, that God gave them these qualities in order to minister to people. But our temperament, the way God put your soul together, is not the basis upon which he evaluates your identity. In fact, most often our temperament, because of those misbeliefs, the history, the expectations, they can be your greatest hindrance, because those beliefs about who you are, a temperament, a soul, it can make a way to excuse our flesh. So let's use the last example. Someone who is emotionally compassionate. We can respond to situations out of emotion and call it God. Say, God wants me to get involved in this because I feel so strongly about it. Well, those are two totally different things. Just because you feel bad for people or strongly about something doesn't mean it's God at all. Now, it may be, because that's sometimes how he does guide us and how he does sometimes get our attention. But this is always why we come back. Lord, what is your purpose here? Lord, is this you? What is your truth here? Our goal for freedom is not so that our temperament can be free. You know, a free mind, a free will, free emotions. Instead, it's so that God can be free in us. So that that spirit that flows from God through his spirit, through our spirit, flowing through our soul and body, unaffected, unaltered by our temperament, by our wounds, by our expectations, even by our misbeliefs or beliefs. But our soul and body have become so aligned with the Spirit that the Spirit of God can flow through us unhindered, unchanged, unaffected, so that his intent is accomplished. So this is an area we need to be aware of that the Lord might bring to your attention, that we have certain understandings of God would never call me to do this because it's so contrary to my temperament. Or this would be a really good fit because it fits who I am as a personality. God is not bound to give you a project that fits your personality, your temperament. In fact, very often, he will assign you a project just so you can learn to depend on him, his spirit in you, instead of your own temperament. Now, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the temperament God gave you. He gave you the mind he wanted you to have. He gave you the will he wanted you to have. He gave you the level of emotions that he wanted you to have. They aren't broke. They don't need to be fixed. No, they may be wounded, and they need to be healed. And they may be believing lies, and truth needs to be spoken. But that doesn't mean that the temperament, the soul God gave you, isn't exactly what he wanted you to have. Again, comes back to, Lord, what are you doing here? What's going on? Am I missing something? Am I on the right track? Is there something about myself that I believe that is hindering your free reign in my life? And if there is, I give it to you now. Now, you already have. I can say that because in your spirit, you already have. You've already given him permission to do whatever he wants in and through you. So don't be reading into, say you, this happens frequently, you've followed the Lord's guidance and you find yourself in a circumstance that doesn't seem to suit you at all, or maybe doesn't fit your expectations. Maybe a new job, maybe a new relationship. And because you're uncomfortable or it doesn't fit your personality, you think maybe you missed him. Now you want to check. It's fine. Ask the Lord, Lord, did I miss you somewhere? Then when he says, nope, you're right on track, understand that your soulical discomfort is not a reflection on how well you're doing spiritually. Instead, it's a wonderful opportunity to live in peace and confidence and joy, even when your soul is uncomfortable, disconnected, or even depressed. This is, again, the Lord wants us to have a clear understanding of the difference between our spirit and our soul. Your soul is wonderful. Your body is wonderful. But their truth is not that the same truth from God. We cannot tell how we're doing by how we're feeling. Only tell how we're doing by asking God. How our soul is doing at any given time is not a good measure on if we're on the right track. So the goal is to be fully available in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions for the free-flowing and uninterrupted flow of the Spirit of God. Now, as He's flowing through us, we are the first partakers. The more He flows through you, the more He allows you to, you allow Him to heal you and reveal where you've been creating flesh and let Him take that, where you've been relying on your own strength, your own soul, or even hiding the weaknesses in your soul. As you allow Him to work on you, that free flow through you, you, your soul, your body are the first partakers. Before our soul, before your temperament can be fully available for the Lord to flow through, it must become unencumbered by your flesh. So, we don't wait until we're fully freed from the flesh, but we understand there's two things that are going on. The Lord is teaching us how to prevent us from making more flesh and also revealing our existing flesh so He can remove it. So we want to see ourselves as spirit beings, recognizing that knowing ourselves according to our temperament hinders our purpose now, which is to know Him. And take a minute and just think about the projects that God has assigned you right now. What are you working on? Do you see any correlation that maybe He's showing you areas where you're trying to deal with those projects, trying to fulfill them, accomplish them out of your own strength, out of your own temperament? Or maybe it's really frustrating because the project God has given you doesn't suit your temperament. Well, rejoice, because He's teaching you to depend on Him and not the strength of your soul. Likewise, not understanding how God uses the day-to-day circumstances we find ourselves in hinders our purpose now. God's revelation, His revealing of Himself, is a day-to-day journey. We often think it's the big things, the big events, when we need Him, you know, at times of salvation, times of healing, times of crisis. But God reveals Himself daily, moment by moment. That's all, that's who He is. He's a giver. He gives Himself. He reveals Himself to us. But think about your circumstances. Is there any area that's giving you, that you're struggling with? Think of this. If you had a watch and your watch stopped, yet you still went by it because you didn't know it had stopped, you'd be making decisions and doing things based on believing a lie, but you wouldn't know it. Because you have faith in what you are seeing. You have faith in that watch. You'd start showing up late for things. And that's how you'd find out your watch had stopped. Things would start going wrong in your life. And that's how you'd start seeing that you were believing a lie. And again, it always goes back to, Lord, these things in my life don't seem to be working out. Am I missing something? Has my watch stopped? And he tells you. Sometimes he just says, keep going. Or sometimes he's silent because you're on the right track. But God often allows things to go wrong in our lives to reveal an area in which we're believing a lie. We will continue a habit as long as it works. We will continue to believe a lie as long as it serves us. But it's never God's intention for you to believe a lie, even if there's no consequence. But remember, your spirit being, you're in him. And in him, there is no lie. There's no shadow of turning. That's why Jesus referred to himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because there is an ultimate reality. Now, we've barely glimpsed it, barely tasted it. But he is enticing us to not settle for anything less than his truth, his reality, his life, his way. Now, if we don't understand how God uses the circumstances in our lives, and if we don't learn to listen for his voice, to see his hand in every circumstance of our lives on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, this is how we can miss out on learning to know him in the practical, easy areas of our lives. We've talked about how God often uses, there's three main areas in our lives that God uses to get our attention. And that's our relationships, our finances, and our health. And very often he will use those circumstances to get our attention when we don't let him get our attention through the day-to-day things. So God wants your attention. And when it comes right down to it, that's really all you and I have to give him. Our time and our attention. And the more you give him those two things, your time and your attention, the more he accomplishes the healing, the revelation of himself, the exposing of where you're relying on your flesh so he can speak life, heal that wound, speak that truth, and set you free in that area. But if you say, okay, Lord, I'll take it from here. Thank you for saving me. Now it's my job to make you happy or to please you, to glorify you, to honor you. But God honors himself. God glorifies himself. He's never sitting on the edge of his cloud saying, woe is me, nobody's glorifying me. I need an honor fix. Nobody is worshiping me. That's not God. You are his honor, his worship, and his glory. Because he has made you able to receive what he wants to give. And again, that's what it comes down to. His nature is love. And he expresses his love through giving. Through giving of himself. Giving of his plans. Giving of spirit. Giving of everything that we are capable of receiving. And he makes us those new wineskins so he can pour himself into us. There's such a simplicity of knowing him. It's not about accomplishing the end time goals or revealing the purity of the church without spot or wrinkle. It's simply us and him, you and him, receiving unconditionally what he wants to give unconditionally and just saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I have some more? Can I have more of you, Lord? And this is where that tasting comes in. We talk about a city set on a hill and salt that has lost its savor. Salt makes you thirsty. Are we thirsty for him? Do we want more of him? And does our life make others want to know him as well? Do we make others thirsty? And that city set on a hill, that light under the bushel, it's an attractant. Don't be surprised. The more you allow and cooperate with God flowing through you, that he will draw. He will draw. He will draw all things, good and bad, negative and positive. Because that's who he is, in us and through us. But our reward is now. We have already entered the kingdom, received the treasures. You are right now an inheritor of the kingdom, of all the gifts, of all the jewels, of all the treasures. They're yours right now because you are in Jesus. You are in the Son of God. Everything he has inherited, you've inherited. Everything. You are a joint heir and a co-inheritor. The authority that he has, we are to learn how to express. And it's amazing the level of authority and confidence that the disciples expressed just from being with him. Not being filled with the Spirit, not being born again, but just by being with him, they understood the authority that came with being with the King of Heaven. So we will pick it up here next week at the same time. Until then, drop me a line if you have any questions. It's Diane@therainersclub.org. Or you can contact me through that site or through Blog Talk Radio. But next time we're going to talk about how our flesh hinders our purpose now. So thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.